Welcome to the Egg.
This season, get premium tech that inspires joy from Dell Technologies. Bring projects to life with the XPS 16. It delivers supercharged processing for enhanced productivity and freedom to express yourself. Performance-class Dell PCs with Intel Core Ultra processors deliver a dedicated engine to help accelerate AI. Enjoy free shipping, Dell rewards, and expert support. When you get a Dell PC with AI, it gives back. Shop now at Dell.com/deals.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
This is a special report from ABC News, Hurricane Milton. I'm Michelle Franzen. The window to evacuate in Florida closing fast as Hurricane Milton barrels towards the state. Hillsborough Sheriff Chad Cronister telling residents it's now time to shelter.
There's no more fuel. The port is closed. Grocery stores are closed. This is when it's time to keep you and your loved ones safe.
The storm, now packing 130 mile per hour winds, expected to hit near Tampa as a Category 3 hurricane. Meteorologist Elise Smith says this will be catastrophic and life-threatening.
It's going to dump that heavy torrential rain across the center part of the state, so the flood risk even extends away from the coast. We're talking from Tampa through Orlando all the way to Daytona Beach. An extreme flash flood risk where we could see easily 5 inches to a foot of rain fall in less than 12 hours.
This is ABC News. New details on the arrest of two men accused of plotting an ISIS-inspired Election Day killing spree in the U.S.
The 27-year-old suspect and his underage brother-in-law are accused of trying to buy two AK-47-style rifles, 10 magazines, and 500 rounds of ammunition, all from an undercover agent. Prosecutors say the pair's intent was to, quote, die as martyrs on Election Day. The FBI says Nasser Ahmad Tahidi, an Afghan citizen on a U.S. visa for the past 3 years, was under contract to sell his Oklahoma City home, intending to use the proceeds to send his family back to Afghanistan and fund his deadly plot.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. A Turkish Airlines jet headed to Istanbul made an emergency landing in New York yesterday after the pilot died on board. According to an airline spokesperson, the pilot has undergone a routine health check back in March and showed no issues that would have prevented him from working. Passengers were rebooked. Michelle Franz in ABC News.
Tommy! I can't wait for golf this weekend, huh, buddy? Time flies. Love you, man. Oh, don't forget your knee brace again. We aren't in college anymore.
Moments together matter. So help protect yourself from RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60 plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
It's time to shift seasons in style at Macy's Fab Fall Sale. Save on all the things you can't wait to wear, like shoe and boot specials 30 to 40% off, and coats for your crew 30 to 60% off. Plus, elevate your tabletop with hosting essentials from Gottinger, The Cellar, Thirsty Stone, and more 50% off. Even better, take an extra 20% off with your coupon or Macy's card. Going on now at Macy's. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayling. Safeguards are in place to ensure the fairness and transparency of ballot counting and canvassing in Wisconsin. Wisconsin Elections Commission Chair Ann Jacobs says that includes any potential interference on the part of local elections officials.
I think it's unfortunate that we have to make these sort of provisional plans, but they exist, they're in place, and I don't want anyone to think that, oh, they're not going to do that. They're totally going to do that. We are not going to allow Wisconsin's electoral votes to be disenfranchised. it's not going to happen.
Jacobs dismisses the chances of local clerks or canvassing boards going rogue to disrupt election results. She took part in a Tuesday roundtable to detail Wisconsin's post-election checks and balances. Higher egg prices this season are due to several issues, according to a UW-Madison economist.
Professor Andrew Stevens says one factor is higher demand in the fall and winter.
People are baking different things, and the demand for eggs has gone up. And I think that's what is really behind the most recent change in prices. At a national level, we actually haven't seen egg prices spike the same way we might have locally.
Stevens also says this summer's bird flu outbreak wiped out a large number of laying hens, which are just now starting to repopulate to ease the loss of production. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Just back from a deployment to Western Carolina to assist in the wake of Hurricane Helene, members of the Wisconsin Department of Emergency Management's Task Force 1 are ready to head to Florida. Bob Zimmerman is a Task Force 1 leader.
We did receive a request for assistance from the state of Florida for Hurricane Milton, and we submitted our response to that request, letting them know what we had available.
Task Force 1 has more than 130 members around the state, and personnel from 8 fire departments took part in the Helene deployment. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Real Country 1430 WRDN reminds you to shop our area businesses in the listening area first. From Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, Ellsworth, Alma, and everywhere in between, find the products and services you need all at affordable prices. You know, these local businesses offer personal service you just don't get at box stores. Shopping locally first not only supports our friends and neighbors, but also supports you. Our local businesses contribute to many school and civic organizations. They provide jobs and they help strengthen our economies. Shop locally first. This reminder from Real Country 1430 WRDN.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Super sunny today and quite comfortable, with high temperatures scraping the low 70s. Winds are calm out of the east and will stay clear tonight, falling to the mid-40s, and for tomorrow, sunny skies and a spike in highs. Unseasonable warmth of 80 degrees is expected. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. Currently, it's 68.
Welcome in to a new episode of AOA, Agriculture of America, powered by Cenex. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Coming up on today's show, we got an exciting lineup. We're going to kick things off here, the first half of the show, another open mic conversation with an ag equipment leader. We're going to talk with the head of Mahindra, Viren Popley, will be joining us here in just a moment as we examine the ag equipment sector and the overall ag economy and more. So excited for this conversation. We'll be joined by Viren here in just a moment. Coming up in segment three, we're going to discuss electronic ear tags in the cattle industry. Some folks in the cattle industry not too happy with the latest mandates. And there was, in fact, a rally put together against it earlier this week in Rapid City, South Dakota. We're going to talk with the president of RCAF USA, Brett Kenzie, about that rally and get some thoughts and perspective on the electronic ear tags from Brett Kenzie coming up here in segment three. Then in segment four, of course, we're watching some of the wildfire devastation in parts of North Dakota. We're going to talk with North Dakota Commissioner of Agriculture, Doug Goring, and get his thoughts on what he has been seeing and hearing from folks in the western part of the state of North Dakota and throughout parts of the Northern Plains and some of the resources that they have made available for folks as well. So all that and more coming up here today on AOA. Our program, as I mentioned, is powered by our friends at Cenex. Cenex Premium Diesel includes a range of benefits that meet the demands of equipment, even in the toughest conditions. Don't let unpredictability get in the way. Make sure you invest in quality products and prevent any issues and downtime on the farm and ranch. Visit your nearest Cenex store or go to cenex.com for more information. And joining us now as we continue our open mic series looking at the ag economy and the ag equipment industry and some of the different things that are going on, challenges, concerns, positive things going on as well. We're bringing in now the CEO of Mahindra Ag North America, Mahindra Automotive North America, and Mahindra Brazil, Viren Popley, president and CEO for Mahindra with us here today. Viren, thanks so much for the time. Welcome into AOA. How are you, sir?
Very well, Jesse. Thank you so much for having me on AOA, and it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I'd love to just start with your thoughts overall. It's no secret that the U.S. ag economy is under some pressure. We're getting into a down cycle. A lot of challenges ahead for farmers and ranchers and really throughout the agribusiness industry, and the ag equipment industry is not immune to some of the challenges right now. As you look across the broad scope of agriculture and what's going on with Mahindra right now, what's your perception and view of where things stand with the overall ag economy here today?
Yeah, I guess it is a challenging time, Jesse, and you're absolutely right. You know, and I, you know, there's a lot of concern about where this is headed over the near future. Right now, we've got more chaos both globally. You know, so the U.S. ag industry is so integrated into the global ag industry, so it's not like isolated to the U.S. So what happens around the world impacts rural America in a big way, and you know, all the chaos, we are seeing in the Middle East now with the, you know, the dock strike that's happening, the ability to export, the ability to gain, get into the global markets is going to be challenging. And also the volatility of pricing around the world is going to be challenging as well. So, yeah, it is going to be an uncertain time. Let's just put it like that. I think I'm not seeing, you know, clear blue skies up ahead. It is a little cloudy. It is going to be a rough ride, but I think over the longer term, we should be fine. But I think in the short run, we will see significant volatility in the market.
Well, thinking about this, commodity prices, for instance, have come down substantially here in recent months. Yet the cost of inputs, the cost of equipment, different things are still somewhat elevated. They haven't necessarily adjusted to a lower price environment yet. And I know that's putting a little bit of a squeeze on farmers' bottom lines. Do you anticipate seeing some of that impact on the Mahindra balance sheet, for instance, and some of that impact at your dealers in North America in particular? Talk about that for us.
Definitely. See, not just us, I think it's industry-wide, it's happening, that you're right, that as the farmer sees, you know, less profitability to or return on investment that he does, his ability to spend obviously comes down. And so, you know, companies like us, what we're trying to do is you got to look at net transaction price. So, you know, you're subsidizing interest rates, you're giving 0% financing, you're trying to find ways by which you can help support the farmer and the buyer in terms of buying equipment in that fashion. Also, you know, you're trying to build more and more equipment that delivers better return on investment as compared to, you know, previous cycles. So you're continuously trying to improve the return on investment on the productivity side. So those are the things that, you know, everyone's trying. We are trying. We are doing the same thing as well. But we are seeing, you know, obviously with the high interest rates that we had, high inflation that we had, it's been going on for some time. We finally got the first interest rate cut. We were all hoping that the interest rate cuts that, you know, everyone's talking about towards the end of the year would again translate to better availability of capital and asset, you know, for investment with everyone. But, you know, we've got some more uncertainties that have emerged out of the woodworks. It's like, this is the new norm, right? Every year you think, okay, I look forward to a normal year. And I think the definition of normal has changed now over the last 5-7 years. So we're going to see some of these challenges continue to play out. And obviously companies like us will have to react and respond and work in the same manner. So we are doing all those things that I mentioned about.
Well, and thinking about supporting farmers and ranchers, you hit on a couple key points there. And I think about, for instance, maybe more leasing happening from dealerships, et cetera, et cetera. Talk about maybe from that perspective, you know, for the end of the year, how are things going to shape up in terms of leasing or new equipment purchases? And what are some of the things that Mahindra is proactively doing right now to help farmers and ranchers? Could you maybe expand on that a little more for us?
Sure. So, you know, obviously year-end buying is going to be in place, right? And, you know, we don't know what the new tax regimes are going to look like depending on what happens and stuff like that. So I think everyone's going to try and figure out how to save as much as they can in this situation. And, you know, in that environment, I think that's what we are trying to do, is actually subsidize the interest rates, because I think that's a huge chunk of what a customer actually ends up paying, right? So if you pay interest rates on $10,000 for 84 months, you're going to end up spending a significant chunk of money, which adds to the value of the product. So what we are trying to do is to say, okay, is there a short-term benefit we can provide to our customers by subsidizing the interest rate element? And therefore, you know, kind of you're just paying for the equipment, not worrying about interest, which is a sizable benefit that exists for customers today. And, you know, almost 100% of the stuff is bought on either financing or leasing. So how do you provide that and make that happen? And that's what we're really working on in the short run. I think that's what we can do in the next 3 months. But, you know, in the longer run, there's a lot more that we're doing. But in the short run, for the next 3 months, that's what we're really focused on.
All right, we're going to pause right there. We're going to continue our open mic conversation with Viren Popoli from Mahindra coming up next here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Lubricants and Premium Diesel. Back with more right after this. And joining us now, as we learn more about Pioneer Z-Series soybeans, Shelby Shea, Pioneer Soybean Product Marketing Manager. Shelby, let's start. What makes the new Z-Series product introduction so special to Pioneer and Corteva Agriscience?
Z-Series soybeans represents truly the next step forward for our soybean farmers. With a generational leap in both yield performance and agronomic performance over any soybean lineup Pioneer has ever introduced. 50 years of soybean research has led to the development of the new exciting Z-Series soybean lineup.
Well, Shelby, what makes Z-Series soybeans different than previous series?
Absolutely. So at Pioneer, we've been evolving on how we complete soybean plant breeding for over 50 years. So we've implemented the most advanced breeding analytics that we've ever used before. So in addition to deep understanding of our germplasm and being able to genotype, we're applying new ideas around both predictive analytics and new ways of phenotyping that enable us to collect and create better data sets from the things that we measure in the field, right? Think of things such as yield and disease resistance and agronomics. So improvements within these systems enhance our ability to determine what genetic combinations will produce the best outcome for our farmers. These types of advances have allowed us to vastly expand our breeding funnel and accelerate product development. Broad scale implementation across our breeding programs is what helped deliver a step change in both yield and performance from our Z-Series soybeans.
Shelby, how could growers learn more about Z-Series soybeans from Pioneer?
Yeah, talk to their local Pioneer representative or visit pioneer.com.
Once again, Shelby Shea with Pioneer. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Jesse.
And again, learn more about Z-Series soybeans. Talk to your local Pioneer seed representative or visit pioneer.com.
Life is better with American Family Insurance because our agents provide specialized local expertise to help you get the right coverage at the right price. We understand that dairy farming is at the heart of what you do, and we want to help protect what you've worked so hard for. Let's build the policy your dairy farm deserves.
Contact Paul Slusher, your American Family Insurance agent serving Durand and Chippewa Falls.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Building a new home or remodeling and need a new plumber? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. Need a perk test or septic system? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. Need sewer line cleaning or repair? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. Need a new water heater or repair? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. From basic plumbing to big projects, call Chris Bauer of Bauer Plumbing and Septic Service at 715-672-8224. That's 715-672-8224. Council.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel and Premium Lubricants. Trust your local experts at your nearest Cenex location. They will have the right premium diesel that you need to keep your equipment in the field and on the go. Invest in premium diesel. Just visit your nearest Cenex location or go to cenex.com for more information. Joining us today, we continue our open mic conversation with Viren Popley, head of Mahindra North America. Viren, thinking about innovation, let's talk about some of the work that Mahindra has been doing there, really even since the COVID pandemic in 2020. How have you guys been changing to meet the needs of farmers and ranchers in the current marketplace, so to speak? Can you talk about some of your recent innovations?
Sure. So, you know, what we do is we actually, so Mahindra is the world's largest farm tractor manufacturer. So we have huge volumes that we can leverage on whatever technology we want to introduce, right? So for example, all our new tractors, we are putting in telematics into the product. You know, now the bigger tractors don't get stolen, you know exactly where they are and what's going to happen. But, you know, smaller tractors tend to get missing with some frequency. So we've started putting telematics into all our tractors so you can track the product. We introduced a new, you know, a new tractor where you can actually get a sense of how much of the loader capacity you're actually using. And that's something that we're introducing. So, you know exactly how much of the capacity is being used by you at any given point in time, so that, you know, there's a cost, right, to time and fuel, right? If you're underutilizing your product by 30%, you've extended your work cycle by 30%. So you're, instead of spending an hour on something, you're spending 30% extra time to do the same job. So how do we make sure that you're using your tractor to the full capacity, so as to be able to save time, to be able to get things done? And you're not overutilizing it so that you damage the product, because they're expensive, downtime is expensive and stuff like that. So we're also looking at how do we provide the farmer tools to be able to use his equipment at the optimum level and therefore save time, and that is money, right? Similarly, we are working on how do we make it easier for you to use a product. So in the sense, you know, you want to do a headland turn, getting a 100%, 180 degree turn. See, high quality labor in the market is not, everyone's competing for high quality labor today, right? So if you don't have high quality labor, agriculture actually needs a certain set of labor capability to be able to run that equipment perfectly. And nothing's more difficult than doing the perfect headland turn, right? How do you make sure that you turn it around and don't miss a piece of land in between and you're able to do that? I think that's one of the most difficult, that you know, managing four different things simultaneously is not easy. So we are trying to create equipment where you press a button and, you know, it lifts the equipment, turns the tractor, brings it back into its place, drops the equipment, allows you to continue. So we're trying to create technologies that make it easier, and at the same time allows you to use not necessarily as experienced labor to be able to do the same job. So how do you create low automation, you know, not the fully autonomous? I don't think we're ready for that yet, but I think low cost autonomous or what I call driver assist or farmer assist is something that we're really focused on.
And to that point, I'm glad you brought up automation and thinking about that and the explosion of automation and artificial intelligence, for instance, and just technology as a whole and its broader impacts in agriculture and farming and ranching. As we maybe crystal ball and look out the next 5-10 years, do you see more of that technology coming into play in terms of the ag equipment sector?
I think you don't have a choice, Jesse, in terms of where this is headed. I think that we're all going to have to go down that route. Think about it, you know, and I'm just going to taking cars as an example, just to build a parallel for you, right? Slowly and steadily, the blind spot indicator has become something we can't live without anymore, right? But it is an automation of some sort. It's a low-hanging fruit automation, but it solved a problem that you don't need to look over your shoulder all the time and, you know, hurt your neck every time you're changing a lane, because now you've got these indicators that are doing it for you. So as we move forward in our cars, you know, lane assist, we've slowly created more and more assistance in the system rather than automation, like I don't need to touch the steering wheel and it will go. You can do that, but I don't think most of us are ready for that yet, right? We still want that big red button which says I'm in control. And to that, slowly we are seeing that as well in ag industry, that how do you keep creating technologies that give more and more assistance to the farmer to help him do his job easier, faster, better. And that's really the piece that we are working on. I think all of us are headed in that direction. I don't think we have a choice.
I wonder, too, with such a global footprint that Mahindra has, are you seeing any differences in terms of, say, where technology is at in U.S. agriculture versus, say, South America, Brazil, or other parts of the world? Is everyone kind of on a level playing field at this point, or are some countries maybe a step ahead or step behind, et cetera? What do you think about that?
Definitely, there is a big difference between, you know, the average Indian farmer or the average Brazilian farmer and the average U.S. farmer, right? Firstly, in terms of size of farm and the economics of farming are very different, right? So in India, the average farm size is, let's say, 3 acres. In Brazil, the average farm size is probably 5. In the U.S., the average farm size is like 40 or 50. Right. So the economics changes, the expectation changes. But at the same time, availability of labor in these three markets is completely different, you know, and the time value of money is therefore completely different. So you're going to see more automation in North America for sure. It's going to be the first place where a lot of this stuff will get done, probably in North America, in the US, and then probably followed by in Europe, and then go to the rest of the world. So for us, a lot of the development of technology that we do is targeted at North America at first. Of course, we test and do it everywhere and then get deployed across all the countries. But really, the U.S. farmer is the most evolved customer out there, and, you know, the most technologically aware farmer. And, you know, he knows what he wants and what he doesn't want. Right. And so for us, it becomes really important that where do you draw the line between technology and control? Right. Because the U.S. farmer wants the technology, but doesn't want to give up control. And we need to walk that line very, very, very carefully.
It's a fine line to walk, and it's a great thing to think about here as technology evolves across agriculture here over the next several years and decades ahead. Vera, and this has been a fun conversation. Really appreciate your perspective as we kind of close out our conversation here today. Final thoughts from you. Anything you would share, reiterate to farmers and ranchers listening in as we navigate the current market environment, look at technology, innovation, etc. What would you leave folks with here today?
So I think the piece that I'd like to say is, you know, that while technology is coming in and all this fancy stuff is coming in, the base requirement continues to be reliability. When I put my key in or press the button, it should work, and it should work the way I want it to work when I want it to work. And I think that's something that you can't compromise on. And that's where at Mahindra we do really, really well. Whether it's Roxor, which is our off-road vehicle, the steel-bodied product that we have, which is focused on for ranchers and farmers to get around their properties, to our tractors and other farm equipment and implements. I think that's the bedrock, on top of which all the icing and the little bells and whistles can be put, and which actually work. But that, I think, remains the thing. And that's what we kind of stay committed to and want to continue to do in North America.
Well, I appreciate the time and the thoughts. Folks can learn more as well, MahindraUSA.com. With that, President and CEO for Mahindra Ag North America, Viren Popley. Viren, thank you for being with us here today on Agriculture of America, and we will look forward to talking to you again in the future.
Thank you, Jesse. Appreciate it. And thank you for the time.
Absolutely. Once again, Viren Popley with Mahindra joining us here for an open mic conversation today on AOA. I got to say, it's been interesting. I've learned a few things. Some of these open mic conversations that we have been having here in recent weeks on the show and talking with various heads of ag equipment manufacturers across the country and around the world and getting some of their perspective on the overall ag equipment sector tied in with the overall ag economy. So it's been interesting. Hoping we can line up a few more of these conversations as well here as we head towards the end of the year. AOA today powered by Cenex. Protect your operation with Cenex premium diesels and lubricants. Cenex stores will have what you need for those products to keep your operation up and running. Visit your nearest store or go to cenex.com for more information. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk electronic ear tags. Brett Kenzie, the president of RCAF USA, will join us next on AOA Agriculture of America.
I was running until I wasn't. My hospital stay would have cost nearly $48,000, even with insurance. But with VA, I'll pay zero. And VA is the best, most affordable healthcare in America for veterans like me. Knowing that my family is waiting at home and a surprise medical bill isn't, that's good for my heart. My service was then, my benefits are now. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Milk markets were higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Wunnikins. At the Mercantile Exchange, November milk up 7 to 21.20, December up 3 to 20.68, January up 7 to 20.27, February up 3 to 19.73. Live and feeder cattle markets were mostly lower on the day as the trade hit the pause button on the rally. Again, the rally hitting 100-day moving averages. That led to a bit of some profit-taking, and also the trade really waiting for some positive fundamentals from the cash markets. Even though box beef prices were higher, cattle were lower. Hogs also moving mostly lower. The markets were up against resistance levels and didn't have enough fundamental support to create a higher trade. October live cattle down 27 cents to 188.20. October feeder cattle down $1.05 to 249.27. October hogs down 20 cents to 83.92. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets were mostly range-bound and flat. A lot of positioning ahead of the WASD report and really a lack of fresh fundamental news. Now, soybeans were a bit higher. Again, there's some positioning ahead of the WASD report, a touch of some short covering, even though the harvest does continue and that beneficial rain in South America. Wheat also following suit, moving mostly higher. A lot of consolidation at the upper end of the trading range. December corn up a quarter to 421. November beans up 4 to 1020 and a quarter. December beans up 4 and a quarter to 599.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America. Today, powered by Cenex, bargain tractor hydraulic fluids. They're not worth the gamble. Trust Cenex quality fluids for performance you can rely on. Visit your nearest Cenex store or go to cenex.com for more information. Well, joining us now for a conversation, it's been a little while, good to catch up with the president of RCAF USA. Brett Kenzie is with us here today on AOA. Brett, how are you, sir? Good to talk with you again.
I'm doing well. It's great to be with you, Jesse.
I know a lot of various issues for us to catch up on, no doubt, but one of particular interest is the latest surrounding the electronic ID ear tag mandate. And I know that I believe this is going to be going into effect here in November, is the sound of things from the USDA. But a group of producers led by RCAF had an event on Monday in opposition to the electronic ID ear tag mandate in Rapid City, South Dakota. Talk about that event for us and why the opposition to the ID ear tag mandate.
You bet. Well, you know, I've got to correct you a little bit. This one's kind of exciting because it wasn't led by RCAF, Jesse. It was the South Dakota Stock Growers, the state cattle group in South Dakota, put this together and did the legwork, and they actually brought RCAF and USCA together to show America that the two cattle groups in the country are unified in standing against this mandate. We were, you know, we had Justin Tupper from USCA speak. We had Bill Bullard from RCAF speak. Corbett Wall from DV Auction came in and spoke. And I don't want to take anything away from their words, but the headliner was definitely Harriet Hageman, the congresswoman from Wyoming. She's just... When she was in a law firm, she actually represented RCAF and some RCAF producers in that 2019 rule that USDA issued that was basically just an edict to implement mandatory ID. And now that she's a congresswoman, she's leading the charge on the Hill to with a resolution of disapproval in the House and the Senate against this mandate. So had a great crowd. I think we had producers from 7 or 9 states there. You know, we set up chairs to be ready and we had to set out more. So it's always wonderful when cattlemen that are busy this time of the year take the time, find the people to cover their places so they can come to this. And we had a great day.
Well, thank you for correcting me there. I misread things, so my apologies, and hats off to all the folks involved there, South Dakota Stock Growers Association and more, kind of helping lead the charge and put this together. Getting to the heart of the issue when it comes to electronic IDs, ear tags, I know we've talked about this before, Brett, but what is the big issue at hand here? Is it, you know, it looks like USDA and others are trying to, you know, they talk about traceability, I guess, when it comes to this, but you know, what's at the heart of the issues with this being a mandate, I guess I would say? I mean, and talk about this a little bit from RCAF's perspective.
You bet. And to back up, that correction was just a great way to emphasize that this isn't just RCAF. This is a huge movement. So no problem there, Jesse. You do your homework. But I guess, you know, to dive into the mandatory ID issue, I always like to start by saying that the 2013 Animal Disease Traceability Rule by USDA and APHIS's own admission has worked incredibly well, and it's gotten better over time. They can trace these animals back quickly. We've never had anything that we couldn't trace back. And most importantly, that current rule not only allows for disease traceability, but it allows for producer freedom. And it allows for producer privacy, you know, and when we look at our government, governments are instituted amongst men to protect our freedom. And where there is no privacy, there can be no freedom. Now, that sounds a little bit flowery, but we've got to get back to the basics in this country of who is working for who. Now, when it comes to the mandate, this is a very limited mandate. This basically just mandates the 2013 Animal Disease Traceability Rule to only use EID tags. Now, to come back again to that 2013 rule, it was a compromise. It allows EID tags to be used as an official form of identification if that's what works best for you. You know, we were visiting before we went on the air about hurricanes and about wildfires and about all the things that we face in this industry. And that just illustrates the challenges that we have and the wide array of places that we raise these cattle. And that's why we're just kind of, we have our feet dug in the ground, and we're going to hold the line here on retaining this flexibility and privacy and freedom that we have the 2013 rule.
I've seen talk, and if I'm mistaken on this, please correct me here, but a lot of talk from USDA that they're trying to cover the costs of these tags and things like that. Is that part of an issue here as well when it comes to the overall cost of these and things like that? I mean, talk about that aspect here, Brett.
Well, the analogy that you hear a lot amongst cattlemen is, would you be excited if USDA offered to pay for your hanging rope? And that hanging rope would be not us physically, but our freedom and our flexibility and our privacy. So the cost is an issue, and the $11 million that's been put forward so far isn't even a drop in the bucket to what is going to be required to implement this and to buy the tags. You know, they've bought a lot of tags. They've stockpiled them for a while, so there's going to be enough tags to go along for a good long time. But yet then you have to look at the infrastructure required to read those tags, database it. We still don't know who's going to hold the data from this. We hear lots of rumors, but we haven't seen anything in print. We have the beef industry organization has kind of unofficial affiliation with Cattle Trace, who would sure like to hold the information. They're pushing for a third party to hold the registered numbers and premise identifications for these cattle. So there's a lot of unknowns in this. And I think really the takeaway that we need to remember is that this is a solution in search of a problem. We would be far better using our time, energy, and treasure to try to defend our borders from disease, because, you know, America is foot and mouth disease free from sea to shining sea, and free of other pernicious diseases as well. And that's what's going to serve our food security and the health of our industry the most. Jesse, one thing that I wanted to bring to the attention of you and your listeners is there was a lot of talk about incrementalism. This rule is very limited. A lot of us have felt for a long time that this is just a first step in a much larger initiative. And if you go to the USDA APHIS website that was updated just a few months ago, right in USDA's own print on their own website, they say that they are committed to birth-to-slaughter traceability. So, you know, as an independent businessman, it's my job to look out over the horizon and deal not just with what's going on today, but look at the future. And when I read that, it's pretty easy to see what the future is of this mandating and registering our cattle with the government. So I think we know that government is not good at solving problems. So the best way to solve a problem with government is to not create one in the first place. And that's why we're committed to opposing this ID mandate.
Brett, real quick as well, you mentioned the legislation from Representative Hageman of Wyoming. Any latest there from her office in terms of what the odds are of that getting through on Capitol Hill potentially here, maybe before the end of the year or things like that? Any updates on that legislation at all?
No, we're rolling into the end of this Congress, but she's assured us that it will be refiled in the new Congress, and she has assurances in the Senate as well. So that's what we need people to do, you know, producers. We know it's hard to get away for a rally like this, but one thing you can do on your own time is contact your state officials, contact your, that should start at your county commissioner and work your way up. Voice your opinion to your DC people. Tell them that we need some leadership. We need them signing on this. We don't want them standing back, waiting to count votes to see if they're needed. It's time to take a stand for this. There are going to be things that the beef industry and the cattle industry agree on and things that we disagree on. This is one we find ourselves in disagreement, but it's time to work together. We need to rebuild this cattle herd, keep this country fed, and keep rural America strong.
Couldn't agree more. A lot of issues to watch throughout agriculture and throughout the cattle industry specifically. Appreciate some time here today. Brett Kenzie, the president of RCAF USA. Always good to talk with you, sir. Thanks for joining us. We'll get you back on the show again real soon.
Thank you, Jesse. Take care.
And once again, Brett Kenzie, the president of RCAF USA. Learn more on their website. Go to r-cafusa.com. That's r-cafusa.com. Today's AOA brought to you by Cenex. High quality fuel like Cenex premium diesel fuel can help you manage risk and decrease downtime, giving you peace of mind. Protect your equipment, prepare for the unexpected. Go to your nearest Cenex location or visit cenex.com for more information. All right, coming up next, we're going to get an update on the wildfire situation impacting much of western North Dakota and parts of the Northern Plains. We're going to have a conversation with North Dakota Commissioner of Agriculture, Doug Goring. He'll join us next on AOA, Agriculture of America.
Thinking about adding cover crops? Olson Farms of Mondovi is pleased to announce cover crop planting services this fall. Adding cover crops like winter wheat can improve soil health, build organic matter, control soil erosion, boost crop yields, and increase residue to help combat white mold in soybeans. Receive a $5 per acre credit in crop insurance next year. Olson Farms has cleaned and bin-run winter wheat available. Call Christina Olson at 715-495-6104 for your cover crop needs while improving your farm's bottom line.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hovde suggested most nursing home residents shouldn't be allowed to vote because of their life expectancy.
Listen to Eric Hovde.
Well, if you're in a nursing home, you only have 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is in a point to vote.
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Even though I'm old, I'm doing just fine, Eric Hovde.
Son, I've served this country. I think I can handle a ballot.
Listen to Eric Hovde again.
Almost nobody in a nursing home is in a point to vote.
What's he talking about?
Didn't he learn to respect his elders?
Eric Hovde hasn't just insulted older Wisconsinites. He's also proposed cutting Social Security, Medicare, and nursing home care, even veterans benefits.
He's crazy.
He's a jerk.
Eric Hovde, what's wrong with this guy?
I'm Tammy Baldwin, candidate for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
But with VA healthcare, it's free.
My education would have cost $42,000, but with VA benefits, my books, tuition, and housing are all covered.
The down payment for my home would have been $74,000, but with my VA home loan, my down payment was zero. My service was then. My benefits are now. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
On the October episode of the Monthly Grind with the National Corn Growers Association, we discussed supply chain challenges affecting U.S. agriculture in the middle of harvest season. Everything from rail issues with Mexico to low water levels on the Mississippi River and the port strike on the East Coast and Gulf Coast ports. NCGA lead economist Krista Swanson joined us to discuss.
If this is left unresolved, it could lead to price increases for consumers and reduced availability of some goods. I saw that JP Morgan estimated the strike would cost the U.S. economy between 3% $3.8 and $4.5 billion per day. American Farm Bureau actually put out a really great analysis digging into this, and I just want to pull some of their numbers. They estimated that there's $1.4 billion in containerized ag goods that pass through these ports that we're talking about each week. They estimated that that would be $318 million weekly in containerized ag exports that could be impacted.
Join us the first Wednesday of every month for the monthly grind on AOA and learn more at ncga.com.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
By the time you're done listening to this ad, nearly a dump truck's worth of plastic will have made it into the ocean. Plastic has become a useful part of our everyday lives, but it's polluting the air, water, and soil that all life needs to survive. This is a human problem that can be solved with human action, but it's going to take all of us, from individuals, to businesses, to governments, and everyone in between. Help create a cleaner future for both people and nature. Visit wwf.earth/plastics.
The United Soybean Board, your soy checkoff, is on a mission to deliver sustainable soy solutions to every life, every day, from food products to renewable fuels, tires, and beyond. For the next several weeks, tune into AOA on Thursday mornings for the Sustainable Soy Update series. We'll visit with farmers and industry experts to discuss soy checkoff investments focused on the sustainable production of U.S. soy and how this builds markets and profit opportunities for farmers. For more information, visit unitedsoybean.org.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, powered by Cenex. Premium diesel and premium lubricants. Trust your local experts at your nearest Cenex location. Visit your nearest store or go online to Cenex.com for more information. Well, we continue to follow the devastating impacts of wildfires impacting much of western North Dakota. A lot of concern for folks in the path of these fires and for agriculture specifically as well. Joining us now for an update, North Dakota Agriculture Commissioner Doug Goring is with us here today. Doug, good to talk with you, sir. Thanks for the time. I know things are very busy in your office right now as we combat this situation.
Yeah, that might even be an understatement, but no, it's good to be on. Thanks, Jesse.
Well, let's get an update. I know earlier this week you got a firsthand look at the wildfires going on in the western part of the state with Governor Burgum and others. Give us your perspective. It might be hard to put into words exactly the devastation we're seeing in western North Dakota, but talk about what you saw.
Yeah, well, we saw in Williams County where they were at least able to contain and get to some areas to help protect some farmsteads. Also saw some farmsteads that were actually just burnt out and talked to one guy, very stoic about it, but he was back doing his job the next day because people needed him. But his wife and five children, I mean, they lost their home, they lost their barn, they lost some animals, and yet he was out there doing what he could for his neighbors in his community, and it's it shows you a lot of how the communities pull together, how they help each other. It was a good deal, but we probably, between the three counties, we're probably talking about 50,000 acres that have been burnt. And what made it worse over in McKenzie County is you start to get into more of those bluffs and draws, and it just, you can't get around there. So it was hard for emergency services, rural fire departments, those responding to the need just to get in and work some areas. And then, you know, when it goes down a coulee and up a coulee, it's just hard to get ahead of it that fast. It really just took off. We saw livestock that were lost. I mean, there's nothing there but the hide. There's no hair. And we know of livestock that are still missing. That's certainly going to be, it's going to take a little while to sort out where those might be. People are trying to be out there analyzing and assessing the situation, the damages, fences that were burnt, hay lots that are burnt to the ground, forage. I mean, there's just nothing left out there. It looks like a moonscape after this went through. The only thing left are maybe a few smoldering junipers and some ash and cottonwoods here and there, but a lot of them are burning too. So this is going to take a while to work through it, and we're glad to be of assistance. We opened our reactivator, our hay hotline, for ranchers relief. And I'll tell you, from activating it on Monday at noon, we've already got well over probably close to 80 people that have already signed up, signed on, contacted us to let us know that they have feed and forages and wanted to make it available to people. We've heard all different types of stories. Some said they want to donate. We did that once before when we did a hay lottery. I'd like to avoid it if at all possible, but we did tell people nothing else, just discount it. And the other thing that we've, you know, as we're working through this, we found out, you know, these producers are going to be eligible for a livestock forage program along with the livestock indemnity program for losses. But there'll be some funds that they will be receiving to help offset some of those costs. So that's going to help, plus the emergency conservation program to help with purchasing supplies for lost fence and things like that. But we still encourage people, if you have some extra fencing materials around, you have some feed and forage that you could discount. Some of these guys have nothing, and that's going to be a concern. The other thing is talking to producers out there in those counties, in those communities, we've been, and they're well aware of this. We've got to, you know, work with your vets. Be careful how you're moving livestock around. They're already stressed. And even if you're in an environment where you didn't necessarily maybe escape the fire, you didn't have fire in your backyard, but you had a lot of smoke, your livestock are going to be susceptible to pneumonia. So just working with producers and trying to make them aware of the programs that are available, what's available, let us know. We're going to be collecting more and more information, working with USDA, Extension, Stockman's, and IBAND, just to help producers out there.
And I think you summed it up perfectly. I think the immediate, of course, is getting the fires contained, assessing damages, and taking care of farmsteads and livestock, the immediate needs. And then as more information comes available from FSA, USDA, things that you guys are able to provide there at the Department of Ag, et cetera, it's all about communication and reaching out if you need a helping hand, right?
Yep, absolutely. If you're even just you're exhausted, spent, and quite frankly, can't even think straight. We ran into a lot of those people yesterday. You know, give us a call. We'll walk and talk you through it. We'll help make sure that you understand what the steps are, the process is, and if nothing else, get you set on the right path, or probably multiple paths. But we're going to make it easy. One click puts everything right here in our department, and we'll then help you get to the right places, the right programs, and the right people.
Now, folks can go online, ndda.nd.gov. That's the direct website for the North Dakota Department of Agriculture. If you need more information, you can find the phone numbers there as well. Again, tough situation. We'll stay close and keep watching as things unfold. North Dakota Agriculture Commissioner Doug Goring, thanks for joining us and giving us some time here today, sir. We appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Jesse.
And we're out of time on AOA, powered by Cenex. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
Hey, I'm Reba McEntire. In life, you'll hear a lot of people tell you that you can do anything you want. I'm here to tell you that's true. Since I was a little girl, I dreamed of becoming a successful singer and entertainer. It took a lot of hard work, dedication, and perseverance to find my success, but it was worth it. I never gave up on my dreams. Remember, you can never have a dream come true until you've had a dream. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
When you work in construction, water is not your friend. Whether it's raining, snowing, or building up in your fuel tank, what do I trust to fuel my equipment? Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster, a premium diesel fuel that's been reformulated to remove excess water and protect filters and injectors better than any formula that's come before. Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster, fueled by innovation, powered to perform.
Think back to the last time you were in nature. What comes to mind? Hiking through a lush forest, floating on a lazy river, or perhaps watching a vibrant sunset on a beach full of glistening plastic bottles and...
Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Like you know to check the propane tank on your grill first before hosting a tailgate.
Let's fire up.
Here, let me try. Seriously, you didn't check the propane?
Who wants chips?
Yeah, checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds.
Salt and vinegar.
You're in good hands with Allstate.
Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance.